Well, good morning, everyone.
Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, what an absolute honor it is to gather and to have access to the whole counsel of God. To know that you have filled each of us with your Holy Spirit. And you've demonstrated your love to us over and over and over and over and over. So this morning we want to just hear from you as you give us this psalm of really a reflection, a retrospect on King David's life, or most of his life anyway, a part of his life, and of all the praise and the thanksgiving and the glory that he gives you, Lord. And may we learn from this, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 18 today. This will be a test for you in this regard. It's a long psalm, 50 verses. And as we go through it, I'm going to read it in just a minute. Not going to comment too much about it because it takes about 10 minutes to read. And we don't want to spend all of our time on the Bible study. We want to just be led into prayer. But this is a psalm of David in retrospect of his victory over all his enemies, including Saul. And you and I don't have the testings that he had in terms of dangerous and life and living out in the open and being subject to many battles of where death was imminent and blood must have been flowing all over the place. But yet we have the spiritual battles, and this applies to us well. And so as we read it, I would just question how often during 50 verses your mind will skip to, when are we going to get over this? Or I got, blah, blah, blah. Can we calm down and just think about it this way? I'm talking about me, not you. Can we praise the Lord too much? Can we thank him too much? We can certainly praise him too little and thank him too little. And he hears, right? Think of Jesus when he healed the 10 lepers. How many of them gave him thanks? One, a Samaritan. The 9 Jews didn't even thank him. And he mentions this. How come there were 10 healed? Where are the other 9, right? So the Lord hears our prayers. The Lord hears our praises. And so this morning we have this opportunity to reflect as David did on the mercies of God and on him being our sovereign Savior. So I want to just begin with a little praise song. Basically, it's from the first verse and the 46th verse. The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. So let's just sing this. The words are very simple. They're on the front page. And then we will read the psalm. This morning, as I was just thinking about the comprehension of the Lord by David, and just kind of marveling about it a little bit, and I just pulled out the chronological Bible, and this is pretty accurate, the chronological Bible, and where this marker is here, this is about how much David would have had of the Bible. He would have had about a third of the Bible is all he would have had. He wouldn't have had any of the prophets. He wouldn't have had any of the New Testament, obviously. And he wouldn't have had the Song of Solomon. He wouldn't have had any Solomon's writings because those all came after him. So he only had about a third of the Word of God that we have. So we've got the whole counsel of God. He did not. He might have had the Holy Spirit on him, but the Holy Spirit certainly wasn't in all believers at that point until the day of Pentecost, which would be hundreds of years later, even after Christ. And so he didn't have all that we have, and yet, as we read this psalm, we see his grasp of the awesomeness of God. And so I hope we will pick that up here. I believe David's objective here would be with this psalm is giving all the glory, all the credit to the Lord for his life. And at the end of his life, he would not want to be remembered as a capable man, certainly as a self-made man. He wouldn't even want to be remembered as the king of Israel. He would just want to be remembered, as he introduces himself here in the psalm, as a servant of the Lord. And this is all what the Lord has done. So I would pray that's where we are in our life and where we would be, and on our tombstone, so to speak, it would be all glory to him and not glory to me, right? And yet so often we hear what a great person that was. And I mean, you go to some of these memorial services and you think, you know, it's the first perfect person that ever lived and we know better, right? And I mean, we need to be respect those who have gone on. But it's all about him, and it's not about us, right? Our righteousness is all based on him, none on our own, right? So here is what David says, just a couple of words, and then we'll read it. The very first verse, he says, I will love you. That is the only place in the Bible that word is used as an expression of love from man to God. It's used 48 times and 47 times in the Bible. The other 46 times are all used by God in demonstrating his love, compassion, and grace to his children. So it's that father love, compassion, it's chesed in the Hebrew, in all the other areas, the other 40-some areas. And so they translated it love, which I think is a good translation, but normally it would be translated compassion or graciousness. And it doesn't make a lot of sense to say, I will have compassion on God, in a way, like you would say to your child, you would have compassion on your child, or you would pity your child. In Psalm 103, it gives it twice in one verse, the Lord using this verse, and he says, as a father pities his children, or as a father loves his children. So this is the word that this man of all mans here is a tender, precious word, and he says, I will love you, oh, Yahweh. And then he goes in nine different my's here. My strength, my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in him I will trust. And as you read that, you just think what he's gone through to be able to say that. Because he doesn't say the Lord will be. He says the Lord is. The Lord has been. His rock, his fortress, his deliverer, his strength, his shield, the horn or the strength of his salvation, his stronghold. Well, that's quite an introduction here. Actually, these three verses have been mentioned by some as the greatest exhortation of praise to God in the whole Bible. So this is quite something here, it would seem. In verse 3, now he goes to prayer. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Now listen as we follow through. If you got your Bible, look at the words, because I think you can pick up more by seeing the written word than just hearing it. The pangs of death surrounded me, and the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. I know we get some amens on that one, right? Think of yourself in this. Think of David, of course, but think really in yourself of this and your relationship with the Lord. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry came before him, even to his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of the hills also quaked and were shaken. You know, some of us would say, oh, if God would only move heaven and earth. Well, he did with David. We see here, the earth shook and trembled. The foundation of the hills shaked and quaked and shaken. Because he was angry, smoke went up from his nostrils and devouring fire from his mouth. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down with darkness under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and flew. He flew upon the wings of the wind. Wow, what words here. He made darkness his secret place. His canopy around him was dark waters. Thick clouds of the skies from the brightness before him. His thick clouds passed with hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord thundered from heaven. When's the last time you were in a prayer meeting and you were praying, speak to me, Lord, I don't hear from you, you know? Well, just remember, if the Lord wanted to speak to you in a loud voice, he would thunder and would split trees and rocks. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. Hailstones and coals of fire. He sent out his arrows and scattered the foe. Lightnings in abundance, and he vanquished them. I was just thinking of Israel's army out there in the middle of nowhere with all this thunder and lightning going on in the middle of their battle. Must have been quite something to experience. Lightnings in abundance, and he vanquished them. Then the channels of the sea were seen. The foundations of the world were uncovered. At your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of your nostrils. Now we have a little he and me section here. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, for those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. Have anybody in your life that's too strong for you? Well, David took it to the Lord. For those who hated me, they were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He also brought me into a broad or a safe place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands. He has recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also blameless before him, and I kept myself from my iniquity. And then he's going to have a therefore. But just to pause there, David is not saying he's sinless, but he is saying obedience to the Lord and walking close to the Lord will result in God's blessing your life, where you can take these positions with confidence of what he's going to do for you, right? Because you've seen him do it over and over. And then here is the therefore. The Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his sight. With the merciful, you will show yourself merciful. With a blameless man, you will show yourself blameless. With the pure, you will show yourselves pure. And with the devious, you will show yourself shrewd, for you will save the humble people, but will bring down haughty looks. Verse 28, for you will light my lamp, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop. By my God I can leap over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. For who is God except Yahweh? And who is a rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of deer and sets me on my high places. He teaches my hands to make war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have also given me the shield of your salvation. Amen. Your right hand has held me up. Listen to this. Your gentleness has made me great. You enlarged my path under me so that my feet did not slip. I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn back again till they were destroyed. I have wounded them so they could not rise. They've fallen under my feet. Now, as the king of Israel, David was greatly victorious because of God blessing him. He was not out conquering anything. He was not an aggressive king because that God didn't have him as an aggressive king. But when nations would attack Israel, they would get defeated and then they would end up under Israel's control. So this is what's happened here. I have wounded them. They could not rise. They have fallen under my feet, for you have armed me with strength for the battle. You have subdued under me those who rose up against me. You have also given me the necks of my enemies so that I destroyed those who hated me. They cried out, but there was none to save, even to the Lord. But he did not answer them. Then I beat them as fine as the dust before the wind. I cast them out like dirt in the streets. You have delivered me from the strivings of the people. You have made me the head of the nations. People I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they obey me. The foreigners submit to me. The foreigners fade away and come frightened from their hideouts. And of course, that was fulfilled in David to a part. It'll really be fulfilled in full when Christ returns, speaking of him. And now David just goes to praise these last few verses. The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. It is God who avenges me and subdues the peoples under me. He delivers me from my enemies. You also lift me up above those who rise against me. You have delivered me from the violent man. Therefore, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles. It's quoted in Romans 15:9. Basically, all of this psalm is part of David's report in 2 Samuel 22. It's been changed a little bit, been kind of cleaned up a little bit, but this is basically Psalm 2 Samuel 22 we're reading here. Therefore, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles, and sing praises to your name. Great deliverance he gives to his king and shows mercy to his anointed, so to David and his descendants forevermore. So we are his spiritual descendants as believers. Father, we thank you for this comprehensive retrospect of David's life and how it fits us. And we want to praise you, not just a little bit, but a lot. We want to thank you, not just a little bit, but a lot as well. And now, Lord, you've given us the power of prayer and enabled us to gather together in prayer. And so may this time be redeemed as we would surrender to you, Holy Spirit, as you lead us in prayer. So may we pray. Father, we thank you for meeting us here this morning. Thank you for this great psalm. We even thank you for the songs that are related to that. And indeed, we can say the Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. And so we praise you this morning, Lord, and we thank you. May our lives just reflect you and what you have done, are doing, and will do. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for coming.
Thank you. Ezra the Brain.